She didn't even tell the paramedics her boyfriend had been shot. And when she was questioned later, she said she was just defending herself. But little did she know that it was all saved to video. This is the story of Shannon Nikki Daves, the woman caught by her pet camera. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. On December 23rd, 2020, paramedics and firefighters arrived at a house in the mountains of Candler, North Carolina, outside of Asheville. The police would also arrive, but later, once the situation became more clear. A woman had called 911 to get help for her boyfriend. Emergency personnel thought maybe he'd had a heart attack. But at 9:36 p.m., authorities found Michael Evans dead and a gun nearby. His 47-year-old live-in girlfriend, Shannon Nicole Daves, was charged with killing him and was held without bail.
Buncombe County deputies investigate the shooting death of a man last night at his home in Candler. Mike Evans died after being shot multiple times at the home on Copper Mill Court. As News 13's Kimberly King reports, the woman he lived with is now charged with murder.
Neighbors said Roger Michael Evans, who went by Michael, had lived in the house for the past 4 years and was always friendly with everyone. He was the kind of guy who'd help out or do a favor for the people who lived around him, and he always seemed to be in a good mood. He was described as going above and beyond for others. His girlfriend, who went by Nikki, didn't interact with neighbors. Michael was also popular around town, where he owned an auto detailing business. His employees were the pallbearers at his funeral. Investigators took the handgun from the scene of the crime, along with shell casings, a Ring doorbell, cell phones, a letter, and a lockbox. Days later, and with all of this evidence, there was still no motive. But as the trial neared in January 2023, it was revealed that there was one more key piece that had been collected. A Furbo dog monitor had recorded the entire altercation between Nikki and Michael. And Nikki's lawyer said it showed she had been acting in self-defense when she shot Michael multiple times in the chest, belly, and leg. She wasn't going to deny at trial that she had killed him. In his opening statement, Nikki's defense attorney said she and Michael were out drinking, and when they got home, Michael was in a drunken rage. He got his gun and said to Nikki, "I will kill you, I swear to God." She cursed at him and then shot him 3 times with her own gun. Nikki's defense said she was just standing her ground. They said Michael had escalated the argument by getting his gun, and she had to protect herself. Jurors heard the 911 recording, where Nikki cried and screamed and asked where the paramedics were. The dispatcher encouraged her to perform CPR on Michael, although it's clear that the dispatcher had no idea what was going on, because not once did Nikki say she had shot Michael. She didn't say he'd been shot at all. Prosecutors painted a picture of Nikki as a controlling, manipulative girlfriend. They said Michael was trying to take back control of what he had lost, what she had taken, when he went to get his gun. They said Nikki was the one who first escalated the argument when she flashed her gun. Michael said, "Wow," when she showed him she was armed, but apparently not in a surprised way because that was typical of her. Prosecutors said it was a game she played with him. They said Michael had told friends he wanted to break up with her, and Nikki was punishing him for it. But the defense said that Michael was not a decent human being and that the video showed it. Nikki's lawyer said that Michael cleaned her clock in the video, which I assume means he hit her in some way or slapped her. And she must have fallen to the floor because he said, "You're not hurt, skanky ass. Get up." The defense said a decent human being, a proper man, would have helped her up and then talked through their problems later at a more sober time. Michael did plead with Nikki to just talk to him rationally at one point, but apparently the situation was far too gone at that point. The jury spent days deliberating, which is a little hard to believe in a case where the entire killing was caught on camera. But most surprising of all, a mistrial was declared in the end. The jury just couldn't agree on what happened and who was to blame. In North Carolina, you're not required to try to get away from someone threatening you before you use deadly force. You're allowed to simply stand your ground, as they say. I guess the question is if Nikki was the aggressor or if it was Michael. the other person would have then been allowed to stand their ground. Maybe the jury couldn't agree who escalated things. The district attorney tweeted that he would refile charges. So in August 2024, 50-year-old Nikki went back to trial, and this time the entire thing only took 8 days. Both sides admitted that the 6-year relationship between Nikki and Michael had been troubled, but this time the prosecution was able to successfully argue that it wasn't self-defense on Nikki's part because she was the one who'd been controlling Michael for years. The defense tried to say that Michael was attacking Nikki that night, but the dog camera didn't agree, and so neither did the jury. Shannon Nikki Daves was found guilty of the first-degree murder of Roger Michael Evans. She was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The county DA called it a senseless and tragic case, and Michael's mom rejoiced on her Facebook page that karma has no deadline. From the looks of Michael's Facebook page, he had a lot of close friends and loved spending time at Lake Kiowee in South Carolina, his dog, and classic cars. It looks like he was once married to a different woman in 2013, and I'm thinking that it's this woman's mom who said on Facebook that Nikki brainwashed Michael into leaving his wife. She said she saw the devil in Nikki's eyes the first time they met, but by the time Michael saw it, it was too late for him. That's obviously just speculation and her opinion, but I thought it was interesting. I haven't seen the video from the dog camera, and I don't know what happened that night between Nikki and Michael, but I'll tell you one thing. If you're just shooting in self-defense, I'm not sure you shoot in the chest, belly, and leg. Now, I didn't mean to make this another compilation video, but as I was researching the last case, I came across another recent one that's eerily similar out of East Yorkshire, England. This time, instead of a dog camera, it was a nanny cam that caught the assault. The case began when 23-year-old Richard Spencer met his future wife, Cherie, at a nightclub in 2000 when she was 22. He was confident with lots of friends and a love of travel, and she was a fun, bubbly person who also seemed kind and thoughtful. He valued his family more than anything, so he just wanted to help her when she told him stories about growing up with drunk, abusive parents. Cherie became violent a few months into dating, but Richard said their time together was 95% nice, so he sort of just let it go. She'd be drinking and would start arguments with him about insignificant things, things he'd done or not done. She would push him or break something and then explain it away later by saying, "If you hadn't done that, then I wouldn't have done this." And he understood where she was coming from in a way, and this was the first woman he'd ever loved, so he could forgive her. When she cheated on him with one of his friends in 2007, he allowed himself to be convinced that it was his fault for working long hours, even though he was doing it to make a better life for both of them. Richard, a successful network design engineer, says the abuse and the control were incremental. Pushing and shoving turned into manipulation and beatings. Cherie would tell him he was her soulmate, then say she didn't want him seeing his family and friends because she thought they judged her for the affair. When she wanted to get married at a beachfront hotel in Thailand alone, he agreed not to tell anyone, not to invite anyone. He thought their marriage in 2009 could meet a fresh start, and by this time, she had worn him down to the point that he thought he deserved her punishments. But things actually got worse once they were married. They tried to have children, but Cherie couldn't get pregnant. She blamed Richard, saying he wasn't a man when he wasn't able to perform multiple times a day. When IVF failed them the first 3 cycles, she lashed out violently at him. When their 6th cycle did work, she lashed out even more. She threatened to smash their baby daughter's face into a mirror and blame him. She'd stand near an open window at their house and shout, "Richard, stop it, you're hurting me, don't hit me," so the neighbors could hear. If he ever got the idea to end things, she wanted to make sure she would get the house and the kids and win. But Richard had lost himself to the point that he wasn't fighting back. Actually, he said fighting back made things 10 times worse because she would just come after him even harder. So he'd just curl into a ball and wait for the storm to pass. Cherie threatened him at knife point in front of their children. She beat him so severely in the head with a wine bottle, one of the 3 or more a day she would drink, that his ear is permanently disfigured. She told him to get off of their bed because she had used her money to buy it, and as Richard cowered on the floor, she defecated on his head and ordered him to clean my up. They bought 2 nanny cams for their 7-bedroom home shortly after their first baby was born, but Cherie must have forgotten about them or thought Richard would never use them against her. and he probably wouldn't have. He said, "I felt so trapped for lots of reasons. If it had not been for my friend, I'm not sure what would have happened." Richard had emailed the videos captured on the nanny cam to himself and then deleted them from the cam so Cherie would never see them. But one day he showed them to a friend who turned Cherie in. The funny thing is that Cherie is the one who originally called the friend, claiming that Richard was drunk and out of control. But when the friend noticed one of Richard's bruises, he got him alone and found out the truth.
Get in there, you f***ing chicken in. Get in there, you f***ing chicken in, you f***ing. Go in the f***ing pocket. You lazy bastard. Will you have it, have you? That's the point. F***ing grey, ugly f***ing gay grey puce times. That's it, Nicole. Is he grey yet? 9 times 7.
Cherie was arrested in June 2021, and Richard gave the authorities heaps of videos and images he had saved, showing the bruises he would often have to cover with makeup before he took the kids to school. In court, Richard told the judge, "From September 2000 to June 2021, Cherie subjected me to hundreds of physically, mentally, and emotionally abusive episodes perpetrated in a pattern of behavior going back over 20 years, almost half my life. I have become resigned to the fact that I will never fully recover from her abuse and that will have a permanent damaging impact on mine and my family's life." Richard described how he didn't want to fight back because he was bigger and stronger than his wife, and she had told him arguments were a normal part of being a couple. Apparently, so was grabbing him by the throat to cut off his breathing, hitting him in the back of the head with a wine glass to the point he needed stitches, and lunging at him with a knife. Cherie admitted to the court that she was guilty of coercive and controlling behavior and 3 counts of assault causing actual bodily harm. The interesting thing is that the law covering coercive and controlling behavior had only existed since 2015, so not all of Cherie's abuse could be taken into account. In February 2023, the now 45-year-old Cherie was sentenced to 4 years in prison. The judge said it was the worst case of controlling and coercive behavior she had ever seen. Now, Cherie was no stranger to the prison system. Her job was a top-level position in His Majesty's Prison and Probation Service, where she studied how time behind bars affects families. She made it no secret that she could talk to former Prime Minister Boris Johnson whenever she wanted. So it may come as no surprise that only several months into her sentence, she was moved to an open jail. There, prisoners are allowed to leave for part of the day and work out in the community. The idea is to help people at the end of their sentences get used to life on the outside again, to reintegrate them. But Cherie wasn't at the end of her sentence. Richard thinks Cherie was given special treatment because she worked for the Ministry of Justice. After finding out through his attorney that Cherie was now being housed near him and his children, Richard said, "I have very little faith left that justice will be served. I feel my case offers very little hope to other victims of domestic abuse that the perpetrator will receive and serve a fair sentence." And to make matters worse, Cherie's brother won't go to prison despite trying to bribe and threaten Richard into dropping the case against her. Richard says 44-year-old Sean McCann first tried to offer him money, and when that didn't work, Cherie's brother said, "I will spend every day and every penny I have trying to ruin your life." So Richard reported him, and like his sister, McCann pleaded guilty. His only excuse was that he had a problem with alcohol, just like his sister. McCann wrote an apology letter to the court, and the judge said it was clear he regretted his actions. She gave him a 6-month sentence suspended for 2 years, meaning he'll avoid prison time as long as he sticks to the terms of his probation. He also has to pay Richard's court cost and stay away from Richard for 10 years. Okay, and just to add insult to injury, the Daily Mail also reports that Cherie was having not one, but 2 affairs behind her husband's back. One was a random married guy in Dublin, and the other was her best friend's husband. This guy actually went to court for threatening his own wife if she testified against Cherie. You just have to wonder how Cherie gets this kind of hold over men. She's reportedly hoping one of them will be her sugar daddy when she gets out of prison. She plans to go back to using her maiden name and to dye her hair dark so no one will recognize her. So let's make sure everyone knows her story and her face. If you've been a victim of domestic violence in the U.S., please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE or text START to 88788. Visit thehotline.org for free, confidential help 24/7. In England, visit nationaldahelpline.org.uk. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.